Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll read a little bit about Moses beginning in verse number Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. We'll begin there. And so let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are going to spend this month, dear God, seeking you. And Lord, we're going to ask you, as we were challenged Sunday night, we're going to ask you, dear God, to allow us to have something fresh and something new, a very much a supernatural encounter, Lord, to see you in a new way, Lord, to learn things about you that we maybe have not yet. And dear God, just to spend maybe an extra special bit of time with you. And so, Lord, as we climb the mountain, dear God, this month, and we seek you, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just do something wonderful and special in each of our individual hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. We have decided for the 12 months this year, we would adopt the theme, Give Me This Mountain, and we would choose a mountain every month, and we would use that mountain as our theme and as our subject of preaching, and we would climb some mountains this year together. And so the first month in January, we climbed the mountain of prayer. Jesus oft resorted to a mountain to pray. And then the second month, we, of course, had our missions emphasis month, and we focused on the matter of worldwide evangelism, and we wanted to climb the mountain of evangelism, and of course the Great Commission given on top of a mountain. And then the mountain of faith, last month and this month, I think, which honestly could be one of the most exciting months, and that's the mountain of a supernatural encounter, climbing the mountain of a supernatural encounter. And I hope that you're excited about this. I hope you're hungry for this. Now, we can do this, and we want to do this church-wide. But there honestly is some things that we must also do individually. And folks, this is one of those things, although we all have the same goal, this is kind of one of those mountains that's a personal mountain. This is one of those mountains that's kind of a private mountain. And it's going to have to be one that each of us endeavor and decide that we're going to do on our own. You see, so there are some things we can experience collectively at a church, but there are some things that every child of God just needs to experience on their own. And so we preached Sunday night and introduced this theme, and I'm going to build on what we preached on a little bit. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. I like that song. I kind of just leaned back and listened to that song and felt like I was back at Rock Run Baptist Church when I first got saved. They'd sing that song in the congregational song. I thought back of the days at Trinity Baptist there in Brazil, and even the early days of Blessed Oak Baptist Church in the garage. We sang that song a lot. I love that song. It's got a special place in my life, and it's got a great, great subject matter. You know what? Moses got to see God in a way, a special way, because he was willing to seek to encounter God in a special way, a wonderful way. Now, we read here in Hebrews chapter 11, when they summarize Moses' life in the faith chapter, they mention this fact. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, let me just kind of an introduction. We'll do have a little fun study here, and I won't have you turn to all the verses. I'll read them to you. But it's a wonderful study to see how God has chosen to reveal himself to mankind through different times. Let's look back, let's wander through the Old Testament appearances, and then the real spearhead of the sermon tonight would be an encouragement and some instruction as far as how does God reveal himself to us today. Say, preacher, where is this mountain that Moses climbed? Where is that rock? Where is that cleft? And Lord, wouldn't I would love to have that kind of encounter with God. Well, let me just tell you that God, in just as real a way, although a different way, just as real a way, chooses to reveal himself to us today. And we're going to talk about that. But I think one of the fun things to do is just flip through the Old Testament and think about the different times that God just decided he was going to show up and reveal himself in some way to mankind. I think about Moses in his early life, Exodus chapter 3, when he had that burning bush encounter. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. You say, preacher, that'd be neat. What a neat experience. Well, you know what? It may not happen exactly like that, but you talk to a few handful of Christians and you're going to find out that more people than not have had a burning bush experience sometime in their Christian life. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a supernatural encounter with God. Joshua was walking outside of the surrounding hills of Jericho. The Bible says it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, every once in a while your preacher will get into some subject material and you'll hear me say, I feel like I ought to kick my shoes off right now. Folks, there still is holy ground. There's still a holy encounter with a holy God. I want you to hunger for that. That's what we're preaching on this month. This is the mountain that we're going to climb. Listen, some mountains and some experiences I can take you to. Some you just got to go and find on your own. And you know what? The honest truth is, all of us, I think, if we were honest, would have to say, preacher, I'm overdue for a fresh encounter with God. And so that's what we're going to focus on. We see God reveal himself as the burning bush, the captain of the host. How about a nighttime voice where the Lord came in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Folks, listen to me. That voice still comes in the night. It still comes in the night for those that will listen for it. How about in a dream? 1 Kings 3, 5. And Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And the Lord said, ask what I shall give thee. All the different ways in the Old Testament God has revealed himself. How about Elijah and that still small voice in 1 Kings 19? And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. Don't tell me these things still don't happen today. We're talking about seeking a fresh encounter with God. How about God speaking out of the whirlwind to Job in Job chapter 40. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins. Now like a man I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. And so we see God appearing to Job. How about a prophet's vision in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. How about those encounters with God, folks? And maybe you've had one of late, where it's one of those fiery furnace encounters. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose and up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And that's something. And you know what? Sometimes the way that we are allowed to have these supernatural encounters with God is during a fiery furnace. that type of an experience. And let me say this, folks, whatever God has you have to go through, if you get to see God in a new way in the middle of it, it was worth whatever you went through. It was worth it. So no Old Testament person, as we taught last Sunday night, has ever seen the triune God in all his power and all his holiness or in all his glory. And yet God came. They heard his voice. They saw him in different forms. You say, preacher, okay, what about the church age? How does God now choose to reveal himself to us today? I mean, things have changed, haven't they? Is God just as real, and does he want to make himself just as real to us? I want to talk to you very practically. Preacher, you talked about having a supernatural encounter with God. How do you do this? How does God reveal himself to us today? Now, let me just kind of lay some groundwork first of all. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I want to show you something about the Lord. And I want to show you something that he teaches us here in Romans chapter number 1. And how he chooses to reveal himself to us. Romans chapter 1. In verse number 18 and verse number 19. Let's begin in these two verses. How the invisible God reveals himself to us today. Number one, the invisible God is revealed in us. In us. Notice what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God, watch this, is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Let me say this, folks. Inside, let's just start with the basics. Inside of every man, God has placed a knowledge of a creator. That they may be, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Now, this is a comfort. This is a help. I don't care how hardened the sinner. I don't care if the man's declared himself an atheist. Down deep in the heart of every man is the knowledge of the existence of someone mightier than he is. God programmed that knowledge into us when he created us. That is why the Bible condemns as foolish a man's declaration of unbelief. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I mean, why would God say, you're foolish to say that? You know why he was able to say that and why he was right to say it? Because down deep, they know there is a God. They know there is a God. So how does God reveal himself to us? First of all, he programmed us. He wired us in creation to know that he exists. So the invisible God is revealed. His existence, the reality of God is revealed in us. Now, preacher, that's good, but how? I want to see something deeper. I want to know something deeper. Look, if you will, in verse 20. For the invisible things of him. We're talking about how do you see him which is invisible? For the invisible things of him, watch this, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The invisible God is revealed in us. The invisible God, number two, is revealed through creation. Now, folks, listen to me. Creation is a powerful witness as to the existence of a creator. Everywhere around us is the evidence of intelligent design. These things are, the Bible says, clearly seen so that unbelievers are, here's the quote, without excuse. Now, let me just say this, folks. One of the ways that I love to encounter the Lord, and I think a way, great way to encounter the Lord is to go out and spend some time in his creation. I mean that. I think we ought to get out of the house more. I think we ought to spend some more time in God's creation. I think there's just something about taking a day. I'm talking about getting away from the asphalt and getting away from the concrete and getting away from everything that's man-made and going out and just, I don't know about you, but I feel closer to my Creator when I'm surrounded by his creation. And I think it's based on this Bible teaching right here. If you're looking at God's creation, there's something about looking at that creation that allows an invisible God to in some ways become visible. I think last Sunday morning I was leaving the house just about the time the sun was just starting to shine upon the horizon, you know, just coming up and just beautiful. Absolutely. If you missed last Sunday morning sunrise, a beautiful thing. And I'm driving, I tend to pull out of my driveway and I head east on that gravel road most Sunday mornings. And so I'm looking right into the eastern sky as I'm heading to church. And I can't tell you how many times that drive, I mean, we live 5 miles, okay, 5 miles from the church. But that 6 or 7 or 8 minutes it takes me to go that 5 miles, I think, I'm just going to tell you this. Listen, do you know how fortunate you are to live in rural America? I mean, every once in a while, just pinch yourself, okay? Yeah, those of you that don't think you are blessed, go live in the city and come back and talk to me, all right? Honestly, I'm just telling you, it seems like kids grow up and they look around, is this all there is? And so you run off and you spend time in the city, and it isn't very long, probably there's going to be something inside of you that says, boy, you know what? I know you'll never think you'll say this. Man, I miss Jasonville, Indiana. You need to get psychiatric help at this time in your life, but there is just something about God's good creation. Just learn to love it, folks. Hey, don't run past every flower that's blooming. Hey, why don't you just stop and take a look at that Bradford pear tree and the blooms that are in full bloom right now? I mean, listen, why not? What's wrong with pulling off the side of the road and taking a few minutes and just watching the sunrise or the sunset? And what I'm saying is this, you know what? Not only are those things enjoyable and a personal blessing to us, but God made them for us. He made it for our enjoyment. He made it for our good pleasure. And you know what? I feel like every time I see something beautiful that God made, it's just His way of saying, hey, I'm here. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like it's, you know, I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. Hey, I know it looks like everything's going nuts. Guess what? I'm still in control. You know, I pulled up. There's two of our neighbors that walk up and down that road. And every once in a while, I pull over and chat with them, older couple. And I pulled over about 2 weeks ago, and I said, hey, I heard a rumor. He said, what? I said, someone told me they canceled summer. And, you know, it's when we were beginning to wonder whether summer was going to come. He looked at me and he said, I've been here over 80 years, and you know what? Every year it's come. And so I said, well, I'm just going to take your word for it that, yeah, don't worry, preacher, it'll be here. All right, that's all I was wanting. That's all I needed. Thank you. You guys be careful. Drove away, you know. Guy, I needed a little assurance that summer was, yeah, folks, it's coming. God hasn't forgot us. And you can just look at creation and you can see God, and He's revealed to us. Well, we need to slow down sometimes and get off the beaten track. Remember when a night out, folks, come on, you, some of us, mom and dad every once in a while would take us out, and you know, they didn't have any money. And so the night out would be, we got in the station wagon and dad would just drive. And of course, I think gas was 29 cents a gallon. Maybe that's why people don't do this anymore, but literally, you know what we'd do? He'd just go find a country road somewhere in a direction we'd never been before, and that's what we'd do. And he'd pull off the side of the road and look at this, and pull off the side of the road and look at that, and just to see a part of this planet we never saw before. Hey, you don't have to go to Hawaii to see something. There's back roads around here you haven't taken time to go check out. You know, don't you miss it when life was a little simpler? And the invisible God revealed through His creation. Hey, go on a picnic. Go on a picnic. It doesn't cost anything. Go on a picnic. Go set beside. When's the last time you ever sat beside a stream and just took your shoes off and dangled your feet? Man, remember those days? Remember when life was simple? I remember it. I remember looking down and having my feet in the water and looking down, and I had all 10 toes. I remember that. I got those memories. I mean, praise the Lord. The invisible God revealed through His creation. I'll go on. I think we're rushing past God. I just think we're getting such a hurry. We got to go see everything that man made. I mean, come on. I don't want to be mean. I was mean enough Sunday night. I'm trying to be nice tonight. But, you know, I guess you got to make up your choice. You know, you got to run home every night and set and watch something that Hollywood produced, or could you just shut it off one night and take the kids out in the yard? I mean, is your whole life controlled by man-made sinful junk? Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, come on, what I'm talking about is a way to get back back connected to a holy God. These are practical things. And so the invisible God is revealed through creation. Now, you know this, but let me say it. the invisible God is revealed to us through his word. And folks, there's just some things that we cannot get so busy that we do not have the time to do. And every day that you take the time to have an encounter with the Bible, you've had an encounter with the God of the Bible. If you read it thoughtfully, if you read it purposefully, if you ask the Holy Spirit, help me during this time. I know you don't have hours a day to read it, so doesn't that mean that whatever time you do have needs to be as precious as possible? It's a wonderful thing just to say to the Holy Spirit of God, who is our tutor to teach us the Bible. You know, I'm going to read these 5 pages this morning, and Holy Spirit, I want to see something. I want to learn something. I want to be reminded of something. I want to know something. I don't want to see black words on white paper. I want to hear the voice of God. And you know what? As you read the Bible, it's amazing how God reveals himself to us. Romans 10:13, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How powerful is the Bible? God spoke the universe into existence. 2 Timothy 3:15, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, listen, folks, I'm not trying to be spooky here. I'm trying to get us to get back to being real. But there's nothing more precious, should be more precious than the time that we just spend in the scriptures. And as we read them, God reveals himself to us. Because you see, folks, listen, in the beginning was the word. Now, that's speaking of Jesus, right? And you know what I say? People say, oh, I wish I could just spend time with Jesus. Well, here you go. Got a King James Holy Bible? Go find a spot, get in the quiet and set. And in the beginning was the word. I mean, you can't separate the word of God from the God of the word. You just can't separate. People have tried to. I mean, you know, I've been called a book worshiper and everything else in the world. You can't separate this book from God. Everything that God has chosen to reveal about himself to us, his character, we learn through the scriptures. And this is, folks, a supernatural book. I mean, things happen in the heart of a mind of a man when they're reading this book that will never, ever happen in any other book you can find on this planet. I mean, God shows up. God shows up. Best advice I ever got as a young preacher, I asked an older preacher, I asked him this, how long do you read the Bible? How long do you read the Bible? Boy, some of you thought I was going Pentecostal there, right? How long do you read the Bible every day? And the old preacher said, I read it till the Lord shows up. Whew, that's good. That's good. And there is just something wonderful about it, okay? So I'm talking about a holy God. Preacher, I want to go up in that mountain and find that rock and see God's hand. I'm telling you how God reveals himself to us today. He reveals himself to us through his word. Everything that God wants you to know about him is revealed to you through his word. The more you understand the Bible, the more you'll understand and know God. By his word, we understand his character. We understand the nature of God. Number three, I like this too. God chooses to reveal himself to us through the working of his spirit. Now, let me tell you something. We look back at these Old Testament encounters and we're a little envious, burning bush and all that. Let me tell you something. The Old Testament saints look down from heaven and they're envious of us because we have something they were never allowed to have, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, think about that for a minute. Well, I wish I had that Captain the Host encounter. I wish I had a burning bush encounter. I wish I heard the audible voice like Samuel in the night. Folks, do you understand something? We have something more powerful than any of those things. God has chosen to send one of the members of the triune God down to live within the body and the heart of every single one of us that walk upon this earth. And how does God choose to reveal himself through us? By his spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his, capital S, Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. One of the reasons that it's so important not to do things and live a life that brings grief, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God, one of the reasons it's a horrible thing, a terrible thing to quench the Spirit of God's working in your life is because you are quieting one of the primary ways that God chooses to reveal himself to us. The more you live, watch this, I'm going to help you. The more you live in sin, the less, the more you grieve the Spirit. The more you choose not to live in sin, the more you get close to God, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing more amazing than the Spirit. It's the Spirit's unhindered activity in your life. And you know what? You can name it. You can name it, defend it, talk about it. You're right. Everybody else is wrong. I don't know what it is in this world that's more important to you than the working of the Holy Spirit and clear communication with the Holy Spirit of God, but whatever it is, you can have it. I'll just take what I've got. And there's just nothing the world has to offer to me that's worth giving up that relationship. And so it's amazing to listen to him. It's amazing to be guided by him. It's amazing to read the Bible and have the Holy Spirit reveal things to you, the deep things of God. It's amazing to pray and sometimes not knowing what to pray and getting quiet and understanding at that point in time, the Bible tells us that the Spirit maketh utterance for us. Because sometimes you don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit steps in and just says, get quiet, I'll take over from here. And there's times it's as if the Spirit of God is communicating to God the Father the things that I don't know what to say and how to say it, and I'm quiet, and yet I sense it. Folks, listen to me. Live a good life. Live a holy life. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. It's not worth it. John chapter 16, I love this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit of God is a gift. When Jesus left the earth, he sent the third member of the Godhead to take his place. The Holy Spirit sent from the Father to work on the unsaved from the outside in. But wait a minute. He works on the believer from the inside out. Our invisible God is revealed to us through the working of his Spirit in our life. The activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives is evidence of the existence of God and our opportunity to have an invisible God revealed to us in a very personal way. Let me give you another one. How else does God reveal himself to us? He's revealed to us at the throne of grace. At the throne of grace. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews chapter 4. It goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I want you to think about this, okay? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Now, where is Jesus seated? Where is this great high priest seated? He's at the right hand of the Father. So where is the throne of grace? It's at the right hand of the Father. All right, now watch this. He says this to us. I want you, here's the invitation, to come boldly to the throne of grace. We say, preacher, I can't do that. I'm stuck here on this nasty earth. I'm stuck here in the reality of this situation. I mean, would to God I could be transported. Think about what I'm saying here. Would to God I could be transported from where I am to where he is. How in the world or why in the world would he offer an invitation, matter of fact, command us to come boldly to the throne of grace if it was impossible to do so? I'm just going to let this sink in a little bit. What I'm trying to do is get you to understand that this mountain is not as unattainable as we'd like to be convinced it is. God says this, hey, come up to the throne of grace. You'll find mercy and help in time of need. Well, Lord, I'd like to. Well, I wouldn't tell you you could if you can't, so why don't you come? You say, preacher, well, my physical body can't go up there. Well, your physical body can. But weren't you indwelt by the Spirit of God? Aren't you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? And I want you to think about this. You say, preacher, all right, let me help you with this. We'll start small and expand out. Okay, I just said that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within each of us. So that means that he's in me, but that means he's in you. All right, let's let that sink in. Okay, the devil can't be more in one place at one time. God's omnipresent. Is the Holy Spirit God? Is the Holy Spirit God? Amen. Just nod your head right there. Get used to saying that. I don't know what it is. We want first-class God, second-class God, and I'm not even sure if he is God. The Holy Spirit's as much God as God the Father. Jesus is as much God as God the Father. Holy Spirit's as much God as Jesus. Okay, we don't have first, second, and third-class gods, members of the Trinity. So he's omnipresent because he's God. That's why he can live inside of me, live inside of you. That means even though I'm walking away, I could go to another state, and guess what? Now, wait a minute, folks. If he's omnipresent, where else is the Spirit of God? He's in the presence of God. Talks about the seven spirits at the throne of God. That's talking about the seven characteristic traits of the Holy Spirit. So wait a minute. Are you with me now? Because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, this is why this whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit thing is such an incredible thing. God would not say to me, come boldly to the throne of grace, if it was impossible to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I'm not just a body. I'm a soul, and I'm a spirit, a reborn spirit. Say, preacher, you're just getting into spooky stuff now. Man, I wish we'd get back into some spooky stuff. But I'm talking about climbing a mountain. I'm talking about kicking your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I'm talking about things that you talk about and it makes most Christians nervous. You know, preacher's going the way of the charismatics. What's he doing? I'm reading the Bible and preaching it. That's what I'm doing. I'm saying that this low-level, low-living type of Christianity today is a shame because of what we're robbing ourselves of. I mean, God wants you to come boldly in the throne of grace. Well, you know, preacher, that's for, you know, that's for Lynette, and that's for Faith, and that's for Amelia, and that's for Grace. And here's a miracle. That's for Katie. You think about that, man. You think about the mercy and grace of God. And that's even for rotten, sinful Jerry Ross, who doesn't even deserve to be able to go in the presence of God. I can't do it except for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But because of that, he ripped that veil. I don't have to have some priest go in the Holy Holies. And that priest had to go, sacrifice for his own sins before he could go in and represent us and shed and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. You know what? We got a high priest that didn't have any sin. He rent that thing and he's opened it wide open. And all of a sudden, you mean I could show up here, or I could go to my room, or I could walk in this church tomorrow when nobody's around, and I could walk up here to the altar and I could get on my face before God and I could say, God, you invited me to the throne of grace, and I've come to you, and with your Spirit's help, I don't even understand this. By the way, I'm not sure I understand it either. I just know God's not going to ask you, invite you to do something that's impossible to do. And I'm going to tell you, come on now, some of you that have gotten serious about this and through the years, brother, and I mean, you know what, you can yell at everybody you want to and other denominations that make you nervous, but there's something about praying through. And this little, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul, bless mommy, daddy, you know, and that's our prayer life. And there's a difference between saying, okay, God, I want to see him who is invisible. You know, old Jacob. Remember Jacob? He wrestled with God, wrestled with the angel God. He said, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Where's that? Where's the tenacity of somebody that has such a desire to know God and see God and have a supernatural experience with God that, you know what, you know, folks, listen to me. I wish I was this way all the time, and I'm not. I'm not trying to act like I'm psycho-spiritual or anything. But I'm going to tell you this. There's been times I've prayed an hour and it seemed like 5 minutes. Now, there's been times I've prayed 5 minutes and it seemed like an hour. Okay, I'm as human as you are. But I'm telling you, there's times. And I'm not saying you live here every day. Maybe we ought to. I'm just saying there's times when you know you need God and you know you need to get to God And nothing's more important than that. That if you'll take the time and you have the want to and you have the desire, something very supernatural can happen. And I don't care if anybody explains it or not. I don't care if some theologian, some Bible college can put a handle on it or not. I don't know. All I know is I've been there, and I want to get back there. Every time you're there, it makes you want to get back there again. And so, you know what, folks? There's a wonderful invitation. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. And you know why sometimes God allows the things into our life to come into our life? Because that's the thing that tends to usually drive us to the point where we will get a hold of the horns of the altar and just say, I'm not going to let go until God does something, until God changes something in my life. So God still reveals himself. Folks, it is possible. Let me give you this last thought. There's a seventh way, a last way that I'm going to share with you that I think God reveals himself to us in this dispensation. He's revealed to us by the miracle of a transformed life. You know, you ever had somebody, you know, I don't know. I guess we all, you know, get to those points in time in our life where, remember the man that had the son that needed healed and he said to God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever felt like you needed to pray that prayer? And God, I believe, but you know what, I'm also fighting unbelief, so help my unbelief while I'm trying to believe. And that's what he was saying. That's a very human prayer. Okay, come on, go like this so I don't feel like I'm going crazy and I'm the only one that's been there. I don't care how good a Christian you are, there's times when you fight unbelief, you're believing despite fighting unbelief. And every once in a while we need to just see something that just kind of says, yeah, God's real. Look what God just did. And one of the blessings, and can I say this? There's not one person that gets saved that's any more of a miracle than when anybody else gets saved. Honestly, there's not. But let me read these verses to you, and then we'll talk it out for a minute or two, and then we'll pray, have a business meeting, go to the house. But watch this. Psalms 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear. Watch this. Many shall see it and fear and shall what? Trust in the Lord. Now watch this. God reveals himself to us in a lot of ways, but sometimes he reveals himself to us through the miracles he performs. We may not see him, but we see his miraculous transforming power in the life of a person. Okay, when Ron Allen got saved here, and God just flip-flopped his life, and spun him around 180-degree direction, and a guy that used to sit in the parking lot and drink a six-pack of beer and smoke half a pack of cigarettes to get the nerve to walk in here and sit down, when he got saved, and the next thing you know, he's standing at the back, and he's our head usher, and he's shaking hands with everybody that comes in. Come on, folks, listen. I don't have to have that to believe in God, but it sure helps me. So every once in a while, when everybody throws every argument at you, you say, okay, I don't even know if I can answer that. I don't even know if I can answer all the arguments, but explain Ron Allen to me. And you know what? At that point, they lose the argument. Because there is no explanation. Now watch this. Let me help you with something. I want to help with just a small segment of our congregation that needs to hear this. Okay? Everybody that's saved out of a horrible lifestyle or a horrible life in their heart of hearts sits in this church and at some point looks around and says, I wish I would have had the advantages that these kids had growing up. Because they have scars. They fight battles we don't understand. Are you listening to me? Now, I preach on some things, and it's hard because I'm preaching on some things, Brother Levi, to try to keep these guys out of it. And I'm coming down on it hard, and yet there's people in this room that, you know what I'm doing? I'm describing their former life, and it's just, it's hard on them, you know. Now, let me just say something to that group of people. You know, I know you wish that you didn't have all of that, but you are in some very, very special way a gift to this church. Because these kids need to see God revealed as real through your life. And I don't ever look at people that, you know, had a rough way coming up and have a chapters that they wish wasn't in their life and were saved of all that and are trying and growing. And I understand, watch it, struggling sometimes where it feels like you're just hanging on to this thing by a thread and maybe I can get to next Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, say, preacher, when I need it the worst, give me a reason to walk back in the door, because these kids need to see you walk back in the door. Because they need to see the miracle that God performs when he transforms. I mean, when Paul, Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle, there's a reason God put that in the book. He could have chosen somebody that was saved at 5 years old and didn't have a past to write most of the New Testament, but he didn't. Maybe it's because as we read the story of his conversion, then we see all that God don't think. We say, you know what? Only God could do that. And so we need you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God performs his miracles in response to the prayers of his people. God loves to do the impossible. You know, I pray for this. And again, remember, folks, when a 5 or 6 or 7 year old kid that's been in church, you know, was carried into church 9 months before they were born, okay? When that person gets saved, that's a miracle. But you know what? I purposely pray, God, every once in a while, for the sake of our church, let us see a miraculous conversion. Let us see somebody which, you know, every atheist and agnostic and every doubter and hater that's out there that wants to say, oh, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. Just every once in a while, give us that person that shuts them up and builds my faith. And I believed anyway, but boy, that helps when I have those times of unbelief. And I want you to know that. Hey, preacher, I'm one of those people, and I come stumbling in, and I still fight the demons, and I still fight some of the stuff. You have no idea what a blessing you are to me every time you walk in the door of this church. Your preacher needs to see you here. And you may not feel like you're victorious at anything, but every time you walk through that door, you know what you do? You spit the devil in the eye, and you turn around and look at a world that wants to laugh and scoff, and you are the proof that God's real. You're the proof that God's real. Every day in a multitude of ways, our invisible God can be seen. Inside of each of us, his existence is manifested. Creation gives testimony to God. We go to his word. It gives testimony to God. We feel the moving and working activity of his spirit. God reveals himself to us. And through his transforming power, mankind is given all the evidence that it needs to know that there is a God. Now, God still insists that faith be involved, but only a fool would look around and say, there is no God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you help us, dear God, to continue our journey up this mountain. And Lord, I think you're excited about this month. I think you're excited. I think special attention from heaven is focused on Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think that the God that I read about in this book is stirring. He's stirring himself. He's increasing his activity. He's intensifying his presence. And he's waiting for the one that will just simply say, you know what, I'm going to go find out. I can listen to this person. I can listen to that person. I can hear everybody in the world and their opinion, but I think I'm just going to go like Moses. I'm going to go into that cloud, that darkening cloud. While the rest of the world stands afar off, I'm going to go in and I'm going to find God. And I'm not going to come back until something's different. I'm not going to come back till I've seen him in a way that is clear and true. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you give us a hunger to seek your face in a special way during this month. We pray these things in Jesus' name.